what's up, everybody? Welcome to Grid Gossip, Season 2, Episode 10. We're back after a week off. Life came at me a little fast. We'll get into that, but we skipped Canada, but we're back. And Julie is with us. How are you doing, Julie?
I'm great. Yesterday was a fabulous day to be alive, to be an F1 fan, to be a Ferrari fan. So, you know, I mean, life can't get much better.
Yeah, the jacket, full effect yesterday.
It did. And I think I got the winning. I think I have to watch it live with the jacket on. And that's the trick.
That's helpful. So live with the jacket brings the good juju, as they say. Yep. How hot is it in Austin with that jacket on?
Well, you know, with these morning races, we got the AC blasting on like 66 while we sleep. So it's cold in the morning. Oh my God. I think yesterday I had it over my bathrobe.
Jeez.
I was still comfortable.
66 is a bit frigid. I'm more of the, I'm like the 70s. 70 is about.
During the day, yeah. But Brian's a furnace.
Yeah, there he is. Speaking of the devil. Oh wait, I see a second dog. Who is that?
Yeah, we're dog sitting.
Oh, I thought you made the purchase. I was gonna say.
No, our second dog would be an Australian Shepherd.
So we have a lot to cover. Great race this week. We'll get into that. Some pre-race drama, I guess, for lack of a better term. We'll get into that as well. But I haven't spoken to you in like 2 weeks. What have you been up to?
Trying to get like back into a routine after like the honeymoon and everything too, with like the gym and all that stuff. Well, it was 4th of July this weekend. So yesterday we were on Lake Travis with some friends, watched the fireworks from the boat, which was nice. We watched all of Peaky Blinders since we last spoke.
Yep.
We finished Stranger Things, started watching Westworld new season.
Is there a new one out? Oh, man.
Yeah. Episode 2 was last night.
Westworld kind of lost me, though, through like all the, like the first season was amazing. And then once I got to season 3, I was like, it's losing me a little bit.
Well, you're not a diehard fan.
No, I'm not.
So good.
I did get through Pinky. Pinky Blinders.
That was really good. Pinky, not Pink. You said Pinky.
I said Pinky. Yeah, Pinky. I was thinking of Friday 2, this character named Pinky who wears a pink suit. Mm.
We saw Top Gun.
I need to see that.
It was good. I think Carter would like it.
Yeah, I need to see that. I also want to see the new Jurassic Park.
That got bad reviews. Apparently it's about bugs.
I haven't been in theater for, God, half a decade. I mean, I don't know. It's been a long time.
We went to the theater for Top Gun. I like the movie theater. Here they have the theater where you can like get a full like meal.
We actually got invited to that exact thing for Top Gun through our realtor, and we weren't able to go. We had something else going on, so I kind of bummed we missed that. That would have been awesome. But
yeah, it was good, entertaining. But what have you been up to?
So life came at me pretty hard. So I had like, obviously I work, but you know, work travel has been at a minimum for the last 24 months, and then it just really picked up as I tried to squeeze out some important trips before the summer. And so I had like, I don't know, like 3 trips in 4 weeks at Austin, and then I had Detroit, and then I had to go to NorCal, and then I caught COVID in
NorCal.
You had
COVID?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't broadcast it to the world, but I caught COVID on not last Thursday, but the Thursday before, or Wednesday before, and then I flew home on Thursday.
And you knew you had it?
I felt like I might have it, but I wasn't testing positive.
Did you wear a mask on that flight?
Oh yeah, I was masked the whole time. So So came home on Friday. We did blueberry picking on Saturday. It wasn't even that hot out. And I wore, you know, a short shirt and a regular like Nike, you know, dry fit hat, and like the sweat was dripping off the brim of the hat. I sweated through the whole hat and like the brim. And I'm telling you, it wasn't that hot out. And that's why I was like, oh, I definitely got it. And so I got home, tested positive, and then we left for vacation on Sunday. So all of Outer Banks, I had COVID, and I had to wear like mask in the car driving up 4.5 hours, mask inside at the vacation house. And I just tested negative through vacation just yesterday. So I had it for like 8-9 days. It was wild.
And Krista and Carter didn't get it?
Krista didn't get it. They both tested this morning because Carter went up to see your mom and dad for the week. So we had to make sure that he was Gucci.
They're going up for the, he's going up for the whole week.
Yeah, so he's staying up there. They're catching a Phillies game. So that was the last 2 weeks. That's why I've been in the dark. I was just been like trying to recover and enjoy my vacation.
Krista didn't even mention anything either.
Yeah, you know, I try to keep my health records OSHA standard. You know what I mean? Keep it on the low. But now everyone knows. So that was my last 2 weeks.
Now the world knows that you traveled on an airplane with COVID.
Well, I didn't know I had it until I got back. I didn't test positive until 2 days after I got back. So anyways, so that was it. Vacation to OBX last week was real nice, relaxing. We've had the long weekend now and getting ready to get back on the saddle, so to speak, tomorrow.
Yeah. In equally dramatic week in Formula One, about midweek, we first get the news that I guess the Formula 2 driver from Red Bull made a racial slur, and they Red Bull team immediately dropped him. I think this was on Wednesday morning.
So I want to talk about this because the timeline is actually pretty interesting, but continue and then we'll come back.
So they dropped him, released a statement saying, you know, they don't, you know, condone what he was saying, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then about an hour later, it drops that Nelson Piquet called Lewis Hamilton a not so nice word. From there, you know, everyone in Formula One, including Max, because, you know, Nelson is basically his father-in-law, all released statements kind of supporting Lewis, saying that, you know, they don't condone what Nelson Piquet was saying.
So it was a little bit of a debacle. Obviously, you don't love to hear, you know, the racial slurs and things like that. But here's what caught my attention. So Yuri Vips, the reserve driver for Red Bull, says something crazy on his, you know, live feed stream. And immediately there's a bunch of backlash. So originally, the way I understand it, originally Red Bull, you know, came out with a statement, said, hey, we don't condone that. And they taxed him somehow. I don't know if they put him on suspension. They did something. But right away, they didn't drop him. And then the Nelson Piquet thing comes out. And the same, like you said, it was like an hour later, they drop Yuri Vips. So I feel like Vips was almost like collateral damage for something Nelson Piquet said back in November. Which... Yeah. Makes sense, right? If you're like, all right, we got to do something. We're not going to drop Max, obviously. So, you know, let's drop Vips because he just had the same issue. It was interesting timing. It seemed a bit reactive to me. I also wish Max would have been a little bit more firm in his messaging. I feel like he's had opportunities to be more firm in the past with some of that messaging. He never really bites the bullet, which is his prerogative, I guess. But I did find the Yuri Vips dropping... the timing of it a little bit suspect, a little bit. If you're going to drop them 3-4 days ago, you know, prior to that.
Sure. I didn't quite realize that, that part of the timing, but I mean, for Max, that's a hard, hard place to be. And I think that like Nelson's, defense was that the word he used, cause it was in Portuguese, He had said that it can be interpreted in different ways. And Kelly was nowhere to be found at the race this weekend.
Definitely not on site this week. She was not there, which probably made sense. But
she'll
probably have a little bit
of a break.
Yeah, she'll need to take a couple week break. But let's just be real here. I don't speak Portuguese, but what PK said was he called Hamilton a neguino in Portuguese, which means a little black guy. So I don't think there's really any way, any defense for him.
Yeah.
It was nice to see F1 ban him from the paddock, like in perpetuity. That sends a very strong statement. I don't think there's anything more they could do. You know, we can take his championships away or something like that. So that's a pretty strong statement, you know, when they're back in Brazil later this year, like he can't be on the paddock. Like that's a big statement. So anyways, I thought F1 handled it well. I would have liked to see a little bit more from Max, but I get it. And I think Red Bull did everything they could do given the circumstances. How long do you think Kelly stays away from the paddock? How long until this blows over where she can
I bet till after the summer break. I think after the summer break.
Do you think that was choice or do you think that was also Red Bull saying, hey, like you are going to have to stay away for a little bit or F1 for that matter?
I think that she's not an idiot and, you know, probably her and Max were like, not a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely a distraction for sure.
Well, moving on to this weekend. First, did you see the merch for Mercedes?
They had some good stuff out. I was taking a look at it yesterday. I'm not a big yellow hat guy, but I did like the yellow Merc hat that Lewis was wearing. I feel like if I'm going to go yellow or orange, I'm just going to rock the McLaren. But why? Did something catch your eye?
I don't know, but you do have a birthday coming up, so you'll just have
to. Oh, yeah, you're right. That's true. I totally forgot I had a birthday coming up. I'll take another look.
I did notice. You know, the decision has been made, but I did notice the hat was not one of your multi-panel ones, so that was not the item. You can post on the Instagram wearing the item when it arrives. I actually think it's coming this week.
You know what I like, so you've got good handle on what I like more so than my wife, I think sometimes, which is kind of funny. But anyways.
It's tough being the stylish sister.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a fact. Krista relies heavily on your.
Yeah, but I did think like the colors versus like George was this like mild mellow blue, which very much fits his personality, and then Lewis is like the loud yellow. But it was cool because it matches the accents of his car, and you know, people wearing that gear in the crowd stuck out like a sore thumb. So that was really also a good move from like a fan's perspective.
Yeah. And it looked like Silverstone was packed. Yeah. They said 400K for the weekend.
Yeah. They said it was the biggest crowd ever there. There was also a really cute video of Lando and he was like climbing over the fence and like saying hi to the fans. But him and his girlfriend are, you know, they're packing on that paddock PDA.
Yep, I was just gonna say that his girlfriend is on the scene, so she's cute. That's a good find for him. Good find.
Yeah.
So let's get into the action. Started with qualifying. So I was able to watch qualifying live, but I was not able to watch the race live. So just keep that in the back of your head as we get to the race. But qualifying, you know. Top five, Sainz, Verstappen, Leclerc, Perez, and then Hamilton. So about in line with what we've had for most of the year. The only difference, Sainz taking pole, which
first
time. Can we talk about his response after all of the shit I've talked about Sainz, about how he...
What was it? Know,
he just seems... He was speechless. He didn't really know what to say. And then when he won the race, we'll get to that later... He seemed like a little child on the podium. He didn't really know like how to position his body and like behave. It was so funny. I thought it was pretty funny just to see him actually not be able to
like articulate it. Yeah. It almost seemed like he was crying when he got pole, like on the radio. Yeah. I was pretty impressed.
Yeah. He sounded genuinely surprised. It was exciting. I mean, it's always nice when it's a little bit rainy or it was pretty rainy.
It was pretty rainy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he did a great job.
And they also didn't change tires or pit at all during qualifying. So that was also interesting.
Yeah. Well, I feel like all the teams just kept knocking out laps. You know what I mean? Because to get those tires up to temperature and in the right pocket takes a little bit of time. So he had out qualified Verstappen by a tenth, basically.
Yep. And then I think the other major thing in qualifying was our boy Nicholas Latifi.
Latifi.
After Albon got the upgrade and he didn't, he was really saying F you. And he made it all the way to P1, I think Albin, or all the way to P3. And Albon was out P1, maybe? I don't even think he made it through.
No, Albon didn't make it through. And he had the upgraded Williams package, too. So, yeah, Latifi. It was funny, though, because you knew Latifi wasn't going to turn that into points during the race. Like, it was, like, guaranteed for sure not going to turn that into points. But it was good to see him make it to Q3. I still think he gets replaced.
Oh, for sure.
100%.
Yeah.
And it also seemed like Russell didn't really have a great qualifying. You know, I think he was an eighth, which was a bit surprising. And of course, we'll talk about that grid slot and how that played out. But yeah, you know, Ferrari, Red Bull, front rows, and then Hamilton fifth. So all in all, always exciting qualifying when it rains. I thought it was pretty neat. Did we get a red flag? No red flags. No red flags,
which was surprising with the rain. Yep.
So all in all, pretty fun qualifying. So taking it to the race, yeah, tell us about the celebrities.
I mean, Tom Cruise was there.
Again, back-to-back years, yep.
Which, like, really makes me, like, I mean, is Lewis a Scientologist?
I mean, if he was, would that surprise you?
Kind of.
It wouldn't surprise me at all. I don't think he is, but I mean...
Then, like, what did him and Tom Cruise, like, talk about?
Well, Tom Cruise is a bit of a risk-your-life junkie. You know, he does all his own stunts and all that stuff. You know, Lewis obviously drives race car, skydives, surfs, all that jazz. So I think they have that in common. But I wouldn't be surprised to see him and Hamilton team up on some sort of movie at some point in the future. Like, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
I think Apple has the rights to a Lewis documentary and Hulu has it for Danny Ricciardo because ESPN won out the rights to the races, but those streaming networks were also trying to get the rights. So, I mean, not a terrible plan B, but that would be cool to see those separate documentaries.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's trying to get a piece of F1 right now. It's hot, hot, hot.
Gordon Ramsay was also there.
He was. He was with Red Bull, I think, Garage.
Yeah. And, of course, Ginger Spice was there, Horner's wife. And there were a lot of, like, football players, soccer players. But I don't friggin' know who those people are. But they were the guy that runs around on the grid interviewing people, kept talking to he's still my favorite guy in the world, just like running up to everyone. I do. And so he was talking to a lot of like the soccer players. But yeah, that's it for celebrities that I noticed and recognized. I think Tom Cruise and Gordon Ramsay were, oh no, the other guy is the guy from Billions. The redhead who's in Homeland too. Yeah.
He's British. Yeah. I forgot. Yeah,
yes. And back to Peaky Blinders. His wife was Polly from Peaky Blinders.
Yes. She passed away.
Yes.
In real life.
Yes.
Yeah, Martin Brundle's your boy. You love him.
Yeah, he's funny. He makes me laugh. Okay, now we may talk about the race. So it's not raining. So that was surprising because I think they also thought it was potentially going to rain. It was colder though. It wasn't a warm day. So the tires had a hard time throughout the race warming up. But all the cars kind of go out to the grid. And Leclerc's car wouldn't start before the race. So they had to do a fix on the grid, which you're already starting to think, wow, Ferrari hasn't even started the race and they've already lost this one. And I guess it was part of the car that we're not really allowed to see or that's more proprietary. So there was like a wall of engineers, race engineers, kind of like barricading it. And then one of the FIA officials had to like moderate it, get it fixed so that there weren't any, you know, advantages. But they did fix it, shockingly. And the fix seemed to not impact the race, although other things did.
Yeah, so I missed all that because I, again, wasn't live. So I jumped on the F1 TV app, whatever, once we drove home because we were driving home from Outer Banks and unloaded the car, came up to the loft, popped it on. So I had the phone on, you know, I'm trying to like fast forward to the beginning of the race and I fast forwarded too far and it was freeze frame, so I wasn't moving, but like, you know, if you fast forward to like 5 minutes and then it gives you the frame of wherever you're at, it's Russell's car with one of his tires missing. And I'm like, oh no, god damn it, I didn't mean to fast forward this. So I went back and I was like a lot more careful, and I got to like the warm-up lap. And so I'm going into this now thinking, oh, something happened lap one, Russell's out. So that's the premise for me to start the race. And
yeah, it's a lot more
than that.
Yeah. So the race starts. Max gets ahead of Carlos rather quickly. So Carlos didn't stand a chance. I wasn't too surprised by that. I mean, Carlos doesn't have the experience that Max does, and Max has bigger balls than Carlos does, so that also helps. But Hamilton gets out quick. Also, you're kind of focused on the TV at the, you know, the front of the pack. And you barely even notice that there's a crash going on kind of mid pack. Joe's car goes upside down, goes all the way across the gravel, over the barrier, and in like a 3 foot wide space between the fence and the barrier. While that's going on, kind of after the starting line up to the left, Albon goes off to the right off the starting grid, hits the wall, and I think Ocon was also in that incident. So we had like two separate crashes that definitely were related. I think Albon got distracted by the Joe situation, but it was like a cluster. George loses his front tire, gets out of his car, and starts running over to Joe. It took them a while to get Joe out of the car because he was literally like sandwiched in this small space. And I think ever since the fire, who was in the fire a couple years ago?
Grosjean.
They don't show anything when these crashes happen that are so bad. We don't see anything. They don't show replays.
So
they don't show the crash itself. They show none of that until they know that the driver's out of the car and safe, which I do think is like the right thing to do. But what I was doing when I was watching it live, what I was watching the onboards from the F1 app, and I started watching to see what exactly happened here and who caused it. And I gotta say, George was very much at fault there.
See, I didn't view it that way. I think it was Gasly that tried to shoot up there. Gasly's rear tire hit George's rear tire, which creates all kinds of, you know, and it forced George's car left, and then he hit Joe, and then the whole thing. Like, I actually didn't view it as Russell's fault. I thought it was Gasly.
That was insane. I mean,
it was pretty wild. I mean, real time, I was super frustrated. I mean, I was very surprised because I just was like, oh, Russell got into an accident because I fast forwarded too. So to see that happen, I was like, holy shit. Yeah, it was good to see Joe. Okay, but real time, we get a red flag like immediately, of course.
Yeah, you don't know if he's okay because we
and then they
no
wouldn't
update.
Show him the car a replay for probably what 15 minutes.
Yeah,
it was a long time.
They couldn't get him out of the car.
It was a long time. So they couldn't get him out of the car. I actually fast forwarded through the red flag, and I was trying to find, like, are they going to show a replay? And I finally fast forwarded to a spot where they started showing all the onboards. I went on Joe's onboard, and I don't know if this would have been the case real time. My guess is they must have some sort of technology.
They cut it off.
They black out the screen. But yeah, it was totally blacked out the second he got flipped over.
Got flipped over, by the second he got bumped by George, they cut it off.
Yeah, it went black. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was a wild. Albon got squeezed on the right with the wall, and I think he tried to break it and he lost control of the car. But yeah, that was, I would put that one up there with as surprising as when Grosjean went through the wall. I was extremely surprised.
And that was seven total cars that got bumped or crashed. George, Joe, Albon, Yuki, Ocon, and Gasly.
Yep. And in the second turn or third turn, Leclerc, Sergio, and Max took damage when they bumped into each other. So you literally had half the grid took damage in the first three turns of the race. It was wild.
Yeah. So obviously it was a red flag. They had to go back to the pits. They never actually finished a lap. George was upset because pulled over to the side, got out of his car to go help Joe. Because if you get out of the car, you can't get back in the car.
Yeah, he lost his cool. Like, George lost his cool. Like, he wasn't going to go over and rescue Joe.
Right.
That's not your job. He lost his cool. And that car, he could have got that car back to the pits. And he made a huge mistake. I mean, I understand at a human level. Right. Like, I totally get it. But, you know, they restarted the race per the regular grid. He would have moved up two spots. I mean, he would have been in this race, assuming his car performed like Lewis's did. He lost his cool. That was disappointing.
Yeah. I was actually surprised there wasn't more drama. There was confusion around restarting the race in the same order that we started the race in. But I was surprised that we didn't see more drama, or maybe there was more drama around that decision and we just didn't see it. But I guess because they never finished a lap, that's why we went back to the same order. And so on the restart, Sainz was ready. He was more ready for Max this time. He was like, I'm not fucking this up a second time, which I was very proud of him. And then Perez also initially gets ahead of Leclerc, but Leclerc takes the position back. And then Leclerc almost gets Max, but doesn't. And then they make a few little bumps between themselves. There's a little bit of bumper cars happening there.
Oh, you're right. Their damage was actually on the second restart. The second one. So it was 7 to 10. You're right.
Yeah. Leclerc's was like the little bendy thing on his wing. So he didn't really need a full wing repair. Max just had a few bumps, but Perez needed an entirely new front wing and had to pit on lap 6. So he went from being fourth to last.
But yeah, the second restart was exciting. You know, you had those three up there take some damage, but things sort of settled in as they usually do. And it wasn't until Max started having major issues with his car that you started to get a sense that this race could be the race results could be something a little bit different. And I listened to a little bit of Max's radio. He was frustrated naturally, but he kept his cool. Like, they're like, there's nothing we can do. Like, you know what I mean?
And then there was a little bit of battle there too between Hamilton and Norris, which wasn't very notable other than the crowd was just going wild, just given that they are both kind of from the UK. Max had passed Carlos at one point, but Carlos got him back because Max had a puncture. And then once he kind of gets that fixed and he goes back on the track, Max keep being like, the car is broken. Like, you could tell he was just like, it's done. It's over. Yeah. Like, I'm ready to go back in. And what they think happened was that he drove over carbon from Perez's car when he lost his front or damaged his front wing. But Horner was on the radio just saying, like, you can still go. Like, the car is fine. Continue on. But he clearly lost some performance from that point on.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to suck. You know, Max is used to being up to the front, and he had to do damage control. I think he came in, what, 6th, 7th? Wherever he ended. But he was kind of down in the pack most of the race. But, you know, I mean, again, impressive that he was able to hold his position for the entire race with part of his floorboard missing. Anyway, so that was Max's race. For me, I also was quite impressed with Mick. You know, he got his first point in Formula One this week. But he was battling in that kind of 7 through
with Max
through 8 spot. Yeah, I actually thought so Max.
Fun to see.
I thought Max was a little aggressive at the end. I thought he should have been penalized. And this is not a Max. He was very aggressive with Mick towards the end of the race. You know, that's the way it goes. So it's good to see Mick up there. So we have these guys get through the first stint.
Got boring there for a little bit, but so far it was like action packed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we needed a little bit of a cool down after the start of the race.
And I don't even know who crashed. I blacked out.
It wasn't even a crash. It was Ocon's car just died, and it died on the back straight, so they had to come get him. And that brought out the safety car. And what was that, 12 laps left, 14 laps left?
Oh, my God, the most exciting 10 laps of my life.
I was thinking about this after the race. This might have been the most exciting dry race I've ever watched, ever.
It was wild. I don't even know how to recount who was passing who at one point, because it was like Carlos, Leclerc, Sergio, Hamilton, and they were just all switching places at all.
Yeah.
Well, I think actually Carlos had made it far enough ahead that he was in the clear. And then the rest of them were playing like musical chairs. It was like 1 second, like Leclerc was in second. The next section, Perez was, and then it was Hamilton. And it was just wild. The unfortunate thing was, while that the safety car was happening, all of the drivers at the top, but Leclerc, pitted for softs. And Leclerc stayed out on those tires, and that did not serve him.
It's the same thing that happened to Lewis last year at the end of the last season.
Sucks when you're in the front. And you don't realize everyone else is doing that.
Well, you want to keep track position naturally. You don't know what people are going to do behind you. But like, I think we've seen it time and time again. Like when there's laps left and you can get new softs and you're going to stay out there on, like there, you almost have no chance. And I was actually surprised Leclerc stayed out, because it wasn't like in Lewis's case, there was like two laps left, right? Like we might get a lap in. So you're like, all right, I'll take track position. But there was going to be 10, 11 laps no matter what. I was actually very surprised Leclerc didn't come in. I actually didn't listen to the radio. I don't know if it was his call or whatnot. He made it sound like it wasn't his call. But so you had everyone behind him in softs. But yeah, I would say the last 10 laps of that race were really thrilling.
So exciting.
Before that, though, what created even more drama was the radio, was Sainz' radio behind the safety car, behind Leclerc. They were telling... The engineers for Ferrari were telling Sainz to back off of Leclerc 10 car lengths to create some space so that Hamilton would have to be further back. And Sainz was like, no, I'm not fucking doing that. Like, which was the right call, of course. But I couldn't believe they suggested that. I was like, what are you doing?
I don't know. You could tell that they were favoring Leclerc.
Oh, yeah.
But Sainz was just doing so much better. And good for Sainz he kept his cool the whole race, because that's what fucks him up when he loses his cool. And I was like, even like the last 10 laps when he had the lead, I was like, do not like crash this car, drive over some curb and get a puncture. Like I was holding my breath till the last minute. And I don't even think he could believe the fact that he won. It was exciting to see.
He really was speechless. He really was. I don't even think it's worth trying to explain the last 10 laps, because to your point, there was just so much.
I don't know what happened.
At one point, I actually caught myself out loud, like a little schoolgirl, be like, "Go, go, Lewis!" Like I was like, "Oh man, I'm really into this."
I was excited for Lewis too, and it was all very clean. So it was really exciting to see. And I'm happy for Lewis for getting on the podium at his home race. This is recorded. I said this on July 4th at 1:40 p.m. I am happy for Lewis. Okay?
There you go. There you go. It's
I was happy for him.
It was a wild, wild, wild last of laps. I watched on boards of Sainz, Leclerc, Perez, Lewis, and Alonso. I replayed all 10 laps on all. It's unbelievable. Wild. So
yeah.
Especially with the radios.
So it ended with Carlos in first. Sergio in second and Hamilton in third, and Perez got driver of the day, because if you remember, he was in last place, very last place. And he is a monster.
I don't know why he even participates in qualifying. You should just be like, I'm just going to start 20th. I'm going to start 20th. He's so good when he starts at the back. He's so good.
Like, it's really just insane. Like, a little sleeper. You don't think of him because he's all the way in the back, and then all of a sudden he's in second place, and you're like, what? How did that just happen? And he's so modest about it, too. He's so modest in the interviews. He was like, I don't know. I just kept driving.
He's amazing. He's amazing.
He is. And clean driver, too. Never does, like, I mean... He doesn't pull some Max stuff, so.
So it's ironic. It's the irony in the way that the week started with the whole Nelson Piquet, you know, racial slur. And then we get through the race and we have a all brown plus podium, which I don't know if that's the first time ever, but I started going back through, and I can't say that it is or isn't, but that might have been the first podium without a white male on it ever. I'm just saying.
It was cool to see. It was good to see.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, maybe it wasn't, but like I can't recall it. It was also neat to see that Perez's dad, I think he's been going to a lot of the races, but like you saw Perez's dad and Hamilton's dad. And I was surprised Sainz's parents weren't there. I guess they had no way of knowing he was going to win. But like after he landed pole, you think they'd fly in. Maybe they were there, but they didn't get any camera shots, which anyways, I didn't see his girlfriend there.
She's usually not very much on camera, though.
Yeah. What did you did you catch the what do you like to call it, the podium room? What do you call that room?
It's like the cool down room.
The cool down room, yeah. So Sainz and Perez were speaking Spanish to each other in the room.
Yes.
Hamilton was doing his interview, and then when he got back there, did you hear Sainz ask him, "Hey, so are you guys back now?" And Lewis is like, "No, we're not back yet."
No, I missed that. Carlos is like the over like eager like teacher's pet, like,
yeah. I think Hamilton really enjoyed being in it, and the racing was really good. So great week. I think for me, I can't rank them yet, but I would say I left that race feeling like probably a top three race for me in my fandom.
Action from start to finish. And Mick got his first points, and Sebastian was so happy for him. It was adorable, like so cute. And then there was like an image I saw on Instagram, and it was like Michael and when Seb got his first points, and then, you know, Seb with Mick when he got, and it was like, it was very, you know, touching. But most exciting race, and everyone I fucking knew was not watching it live, so it was infuriating. I couldn't talk to anyone about it, but it was, oh my gosh, just wild.
Yeah,
just wild.
I had to stay off the phone. I was like, I can't be checking texts or anything because someone's gonna blow it. So great week. So what's next on the calendar? I don't even know.
We have a race this weekend in Austria. Austria is this weekend. I wonder if it's a sprint.
Red Bull Arena? Red Bull Ring?
I think so. Let's see here.
Okay. I think it's a sprint week.
Yes, it is. It is sprint. So everyone get ready at 9:30 on Friday to watch sprint, 9:30 Central.
Yeah, so qualifying on Friday, sprint Saturday, race Sunday.
Sorry,
so.
Yes. We have to watch qualifying on Friday at 10 a.m. Central. I'm ready.
There you go.
And then we have a couple weeks off, then France and Hungary, and then it's summer break.
Okay, so three more races till summer break. As far as standings updates, Max still in first.
Yes, he's got then Sergio.
34 points on Sergio.
That's a good 10 quick on math.
Yep, I try. Sainz, Russell, Lewis. So still comfortable at the top. And then constructors, Red Bull has a pretty healthy lead with a, what do we got, 35, 28, a lot of points, 60 plus points on Ferrari. And Ferrari put some space between them and Mercedes with Russell not finishing the race.
The only driver without points is Latifi.
Oh, Latifi. Yeah, Latifi, I think he's got three more races. And then they're going to announce that he's no longer an F1. Anyways, well, great race. Happy to be back. We missed Canada, but Canada was kind of a snooze fest for me. So
I don't know. I don't remember what it was, but
I don't even know who won the race. I think Max did. And we'll be back next week for Red Bull Ring action.
That'll be exciting. I hope Sergio wins.
COVID free. I would love to see Sergio win the next two out of three and have it, you know, within 10, 15 points for the second half. That would keep it interesting. The last thing I want to see is Max win three straight races and be up, you know, 50, 60 points. Be a little bit of a snooze fest the rest of the way. So let's go, Sergio. Well, until next time, we will see you guys next week. Check us out on Grid Gossip F1. Peace. See you later.
Adios.